We want to welcome you to this workshop. We're going to take a brief period of time and cover several topics. One topic is evangelism. One topic is, once someone comes to know Christ, how do we help them? That's called follow-up. And one is, that may be the only two we get to.
Okay. All right. We were all shifting gears.
Okay, good. But, all right. In this workshop, I want to introduce Rich Smith. He's going to be doing a topic called Getting a Grip on God's Word. So, would you like me to pass these out?
Did you just do that? That's all. They're not all the same. I'm sure that they're mixed up.
I'll just get the one with this topic.
I'll
just do that. All right, Rich, go ahead.
Thank you, Chip, and it's good to see you. My name is Rich. In case you didn't hear me over there, I live in Oklahoma City with Chip. I'm married and have two children, but for the first 18 years of my life or so, I was not a Christian. I became a Christian after I went into the military. And after God continued to pursue me, I had gone to church all my life, so I never memorized any scripture, but I heard enough of it to where I knew that I was still a sinner. Just going, leaving home did not take away the guilt that I was lost and a sinner, and if I were to die, that I would go to hell. So I bought a Bible to try and sort this out, and God used several things to bring me himself, and I was very fortunate that early as a young baby Christian, two men came into my life to help me grow. They taught me how to study God's Word, how to read it, how to memorize it, and how to get a grip on God's Word. Many people today usually only practice one of these five ways. The Bible talks about five ways that we can gain a better handle or grip on God's Word. But the word hand itself comes from an old word that means to grasp, which is easy to see. The hand is used to grasp, whether it's used to pick up something or to hold something or to do other kinds of work. It's used to hold someone else's hand in a gentle way or a comforting way. It's used to for many things. So the hand is a well-designed instrument. My background is engineering, so we study the basic electrical and mechanical things that God's created in the universe. And believe it or not, God has created the universe. In spite of what maybe your professors or teachers will tell you in university, that it all evolved. Well, it's too intricate, it's too precise to have just evolved. And more scientists, whether they're Christians or not, are seeing the fallacies of evolution, just based upon the fact that the universe is so ordered. And so God, being a very ordered God, has given us His Word so that we can be better Christians. And the first way on your handout, Reverend Mann this morning talked about the importance of God's Word, right? You know, remember something that Reverend Mann shared this morning?
Yes.
What was one thing that he said about God's Word? Anyone know 1 Timothy 3:16? All Scripture is
inspired
by God. Right. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God's Word is inspired. And on your handout, this is just a real brief overview of the characteristics of why God's Word is important and valuable enough to even consider these five ways that we're going to get a grip on it. It's inspired, it's eternal. Very few things are eternal. Most things are going to not last very long. In fact, nothing except God Himself is eternal. Jesus said that His Word is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. That means everything that's ever been built by any engineer is going to deteriorate, There are certain laws in physics, of laws of thermodynamics, that say things go from being ordered to disorder. So if I make something brand new today, then within, given a certain amount of time, it's going to rust, it's going to break down. That's just the natural order. But God's Word is eternal. And the souls of people are eternal, right? We will live forever, either in heaven with God or separated from Him in hell. That's the only two options. 1 John says that he who has the Son of God, or Jesus Christ, has eternal life, or life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's very, very easy to understand that we are on one side or the other. So in sharing the gospel, we can not make it so complicated. So if those are the only things that are eternal, it's important to give our lives to those, to knowing God, the eternal God, to investing in our eternal soul, and knowing the eternal Word. Anyone know anything else that's eternal, that's going to last forever? Is this building going to last forever? How about if it's made of brick, stone? Last forever. Even things that we built very well that last 30, 40, 50 years, eventually, the Bible says there will come a day, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and everything will be burned up, it says. So, if I poured my life into building something, and that's what my life is based on, knowing it's going to be burned up, that doesn't give me very much eternal purpose. But if I get a grip on God's Word, I know that I have something eternal to hold on to. So, I'm going to kind of skip ahead to Roman numeral 3 and talk about the first way we get God's Word into our life is to hear it, like you're doing now. You're hearing Chip and Reverend Mann and myself read or quote God's Word to you. Romans 10:17. Would someone like to read that? Have their Bible handy? Read Romans 10:17. As soon as somebody finds it, you're welcome to read it real loud so we can all hear it. And on this side, is it something? Are I split up any particular way, or is it older, younger, or? Okay, good.
Romans 10. So then, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through preaching Christ.
Okay, so... No, that's it. Thanks. Romans 10:17. Where does faith come from? Anyone ever prayed for more faith? Lord, give me more faith. Where does faith come from? From hearing God's Word, right? God's Word has the power to give us faith. So the worst thing we can do if we aren't sure of our faith in God is to neglect the Bible and say, well, I don't, He's not talking to me. I don't know who He is. I'm just going to leave it alone. We're letting go one of our opportunities to gain faith, because the Bible talks and reveals Jesus Christ to us. All the Scriptures are revealing the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And God has given certain men and women the gift of teaching, preaching, teaching. So if God's given them a special gift for teaching, we should want to hear them proclaim God's Word. Now, the hearing is like the little finger, and it's like trying to hold my Bible and carry it around with just my little finger. And if I'm not careful, it's going to fall off my finger, or someone's going to easily just bump into it and knock it off. Can you take that from my hand right now? If I just hold it up? Pretty easily. I mean, I have no ability to grasp God's Word after, if all I do is hear. And what do most of us do? We do hear it. We hear it on Sunday morning or maybe during the week. But the problem is, how much do we remember of what we hear? Statistically, what do you think the number is? If you hear something that in 24 hours you can remember it. what percent of what you hear can you remember 24 hours later? 100%? Unless you have a photographic memory, which I do not. A lot of that's going to be lost.
Right.
Maybe you remember 5% or less. I mean, if you're normal. And it varies. So that's why, you know, we can't just go to church and hear it and think that we're going to have a very good understanding. We can't just go to school and study something. I certainly would not have gotten through school if all I did was go to the lecture. But I was expected to go to the lecture. I was expected to hear because he had some important things to say. Or she. But I was also expected to read the textbook. And God says, blessed are those who read the words of this book in Revelation 1:3. So if I have two fingers, I have a little bit better balance. I might even be able to hold it with two fingers if they're stronger. But it's still not very strong, and you could probably grab that, pull it away from me without much effort. Now, who wants to pull God's Word out of our hand anyway? Why are we worried about that? Familiar with the lesson on the sower, the seed and the sower? Where the sower sows the Word of God and scatters it, and it lands on one of four types of soil. Right, one of them was hard ground, one was on the stony ground, and one was on the thorns. And then there was only one type of soil that it, what type, where the seed actually grew and bore fruit. So it's a good, fertile soil. But the first soil says that the seed was sown, and it says that the birds that came by represent someone we call Satan, the devil. It says Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So even today, every time I hear God's word spoken or if I read it or whatever, there's a danger that if I'm not careful and holding on to it, Satan has a way of coming in and taking it away. So we need another way to get a better grip, and that's by studying. Study is a third way. It's on your handout there. Now, most people our age, my age or your age, most people just don't get thrilled about going to school and studying, do they? I mean, there's a few rare people that just like to study, right? Are any of those in here that just love studying naturally? Probably depends upon the topic and the reward that you get. I mean, if you were going to say, if you study hard and get through this, you will receive something that might help you get through. But studying takes a little more effort, and sometimes it's work, right? But the Word of God says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth or dividing it. So many careless people take the Bible and they read it and then they think they understand it and they start telling you what it says and they're not accurately handling it. And if we don't know what it says, we're going to be led astray. And there are too many people today leading people astray. At least there are where I come from. They're careless with the Word. They don't handle it very well. Unless we know it, it says that the students in Acts 17:11 were noble because they searched the Scriptures daily, to see what they were saying was true. So they even checked out Paul. Now, if we knew today, we look at Paul, he was the greatest missionary, and I don't know if they knew back then that he was, but who would think that it would be necessary to check what Paul was saying out and see if it was true? So they searched the Scriptures with what they had to see if it was true. We should be doing that. You should be doing that now. If I'm saying something that's not biblical or true, you need to you can do one of two things. You can tune me out, you can call me on it, or you can just, when you leave, just forget what I said. But if it's God's Word, as we love God's Word and meditate on it, treasure it, it has certain benefits. One is that it helps keep us from falling into temptation, carrying through temptation, sinning. Is temptation a sin? No? No, temptation is not a sin. We can be tempted. Tempted is the opportunity to sin. But temptation is not a sin. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So temptation is common to all of us. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to resist. So temptation comes and gives us an opportunity to resist. And if we don't resist, we go to the next step, which is sin. So that's a good point. Anyone else want to quote one of these two verses before we move on to the next finger? Who can guess what the next finger is? Scripture memorize. That's what you spend your first workshop to memorize these two great verses. So, this verse here, "Thy word have I treasured in my heart." We're to treasure it. Another version says to hide it in your heart. And when you hide it, you're keeping it from being lost. You know, you want to treasure it and lock it up because you want to keep it safe. So, and our heart's a safe place. Again, I can walk away from today and forget everything you've heard. But if I've memorized it in my heart, I can put my Bible down. But if I have it in my head, my heart, I can go off to school and to work, and it's going with me. I can carry it wherever I want to if I memorize it. So if we remember 5% of what we hear, how much did we say of what we read, maybe? Do we remember the next day? Again, some people read fast and skim read, and some people speed read. Retention, you can train your mind, you know, to retain more from reading, but it's, I don't know, 10%, maybe higher. But if we study it, what if we read and hear and study? It should go up. It's somewhere higher than 10 or 15, right? Maybe at least for 24 hours. And I know we all study for tests, and our mind is so full of information, and we can't wait to get and take the test before we forget it, and it dumps out the other side or something. But we do remember it, you know, usually long enough for 24 hours, and maybe longer if it means something to you. So, but if we memorize it, isn't it 100%? We all memorize, well, Chip covered this. I won't spend a lot of time on that, but we need to go on to the thumb. It's more powerful because we can meditate, that's the thumb, meditate on all four of the other methods. We can meditate on what we hear, and it helps my retention go up. So if I'm hearing a pastor teach, one way to help retain what he's saying is to take notes. Another way is to meditate and think deeply and then keep my mind from wandering. And when I meditate on what I read the Bible every day before I go to work or to school. And I have every day for many years. It's been proven so valuable that I wouldn't dare leave the house without spending at least a few minutes alone with God to let Him talk to me. He's wanting to talk to me, and He invites me to talk to Him through prayer. So there's this two-way relationship, communication going on. And so if I read it, I can just read it rotely and then forget about it. But if I meditate on it, maybe write down something that He told me, it gives me something to think about throughout the day. Now, Bible study, I can meditate on what I study by, you know, doing the study we write typically involves not just understanding what the Bible says, but what it means. And I'm going to write down some things, cross-reference, things like that. Really interpret the passage. And it can become a delight. I mean, Scripture, the hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating. Have you heard this verse today? Jeremiah 15:16. Says, Jeremiah speaking, he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." That means he took them in. "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So, there's something inherently powerful and enriching and joyful about God's Word. And the more we get it into our lives, the more we will realize it. But it takes some effort on our part. And the reason it takes effort is because God is a wise God. And He says the parables were spoken to hide things from those who really don't want to hear it or do it in the first place. And Proverbs 2 says, if you call out for insight, and you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So if you're looking for something like a hidden treasure, and you're out here digging and saying, well, I think something's out here, and you work hard and you dig and dig like a hidden treasure, that takes work. But God rewards those who put a little more effort and work into knowing Him. It's the same really with any relationship. God, my wife didn't reveal her deepest heart and secret and wisdom to just any casual person that came along. But as I made an effort to get to know her and spend time with her, then she began to share more, and the same the other way. So it's very much like a relationship with one another. Let's look at this handout in a second. Let me pause here. We've covered the hearing, reading, studying, memorize, meditate on God's Word. That's called the hand illustration. And there's a wooden, this is a slowly done. I picked this up just the other day. I'll pass it around, actually. We haven't given you a verse yet on meditation, right? There are many besides this one. This is a good one. It's my meditation all day. Psalm 1 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law does He meditate day and night. So here we got all the day. Psalm 1 says day and night. And why does He do that? Well, it says His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's similar to this love. You delight in something or someone, you love. And there's a promise connected to that verse. It says He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever He does will prosper. So there's the promise of always having a strong, growing, thriving tree that's going to have fruit. And where I'm from, we have leaves come out in certain times of trees in the spring. They come out in the summer. It gets so hot that the leaves begin to wilt. In the fall, they turn red or yellow, orange, and then they fall off. They die and fall off. But a living, thriving, evergreen tree is green all year long. And that's the person who's continually meditating on God's Word. Well, when do we have time to do all this? I mean, does this sound impractical, impossible? Usually we have to plan to do it. I mean, I have to say my objective is to know God, so I'm going to get up and spend at least 7 minutes a day with God every day this week. How many of you, well, you don't have to raise your hand, but that's called a daily quiet time. And so that's how I read. I try to read through the whole Bible at least once a year. I mean, I read through it once a year. I have a plan that's called the one-year Bible. And the whole Bible is divided up into 365 readings. So that I can... there are other plans available that divide the Old and New Testament up. But this is really very easy to use. I can turn to August 15th. And if I read this and just stick with the plan, and I'll start at the beginning, and by the end of the year, I've read through the Bible. Now, this happens to be a New Testament only. And maybe you need to start with I challenge you to read through the New Testament this year by reading a chapter a day or whatever plan you can come up with. Scripture memory, there's several tools out available, and I'm sure you discussed this called Beginning with Christ. That gives you five verses to start with and gives you a kind of a plan by memorizing the reference before and after, phrase by phrase. And then I put them on little cards like this. I write them down. And I put them in either in my pocket or eventually if I get so many that I'm going to lose them, I get some kind of little holder. And I carry that with me every day. Because there are a lot of times during the day when I'm not being productive. I'm standing in line. Well, what do I do when I'm standing in line? Just to let my mind wander? I could be using, you know, even a few minutes here and there. Pull this out and say, okay, I want to think about a particular verse. And it's amazing how often when I do that, that it comforts me or gives me a promise or encourages me. Because through the day, the world is trying to beat us down, and we got Satan whispering lies in our lives, and then we got the pull of our own flesh. All these three enemies are pulling us away from a love for God. So throughout the day, it helps me really practice this all the day part. All the day. And at night, I'm trying to fall asleep. I pull back this verse back to my memory and think about it, and the next thing I know, I fall asleep. And when I wake up in the morning, the last thing I remember was that last verse. And so I had a peaceful sleep instead of sleeping on my worries and cares and cares of the world. Bible study, there's a lot we could say on Bible study on how to do that. And the need to be in a small group. Almost my entire Christian life, with a few exceptions, I've been a part of a small group Bible study that's helped keep me accountable and keep me going in these five areas, wherever that hand is. Is it across over? So that's important. And plus, throughout the college years and even beyond, we have at least one conference like this a year, sometimes two, just for a lot of people to get together and learn from one another. So those things are important. Any questions or feedback? Put another kind of lots of information on you. But how's your grip? I mean, this wouldn't be complete if I didn't cover the palm, which is obedience. What does the Bible say in James? I know James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, right? Deceiving your own selves. So if we leave this conference, it would be a shame to hear all this, to read these verses and to study a few of them, and then go away and have good intentions. I don't doubt that you have good intentions, but there are many things that are going to pull you away from doing what you've heard. So, at the end of your handout, there's a place to write down what impressed me most. It might be from the first workshop, might be from this workshop, might be from the main message. Three easy questions to help make an application or obey God's word is what impressed me the most about what I just heard or read or studied, memorized, and where do I fall short? And what, by God's grace, do I intend to do about it? And it helps me make that little, it's a commitment. We're all afraid to make commitments. I don't want to do that. But by writing it down, it kind of keeps me accountable to myself and to God. So take a moment. Maybe it could be any number of things that the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind so far today. And there's a little bit more we're going to be sharing, but I'd like for you to actually pray through and write a few things down. At least one good application. And a good application is something that's possible and practical. You can't say, well, starting today I'm going to read five chapters a day. That may not be possible or practical to go from zero to five chapters a day. Or I'm going to memorize the book of John. Well, I wouldn't start there. Goals are best done when they're small steps Otherwise, it's easy to get discouraged. If I were going to set a goal to get into shape and said I want to be able to run a 10K, I wouldn't start out running a 10K. I start by running a quarter mile a day for a week, and I run a half a mile a day for a week, and I run three quarters a mile until I work up to 2K, 3K, and get my body in shape. So it's best to take little steps in any of these disciplines. Your prayer life, the word, prayer, witnessing. I think one of the things we miss is the key of being consistent. I'd rather someone spend 7 minutes a day with God for 30 days than for them to once a week spend 4 hours in the Word. Now, I still would like to have be in the Word for Bible study several hours a week is a good thing. And we all have time. We all have time to do what we really want to do. I found that to be true. We can make time. We have all these pockets of time throughout the week that we really kind of waste because we're naturally lazy. You're at a prime opportunity to make some key investments in your lives now, in the spring of your life, that will bear fruit in the fall, harvest time. So while you're writing that, if anyone else has a question, how are you doing the wheel now? Or
yeah, what's your question?
Okay. Yes, question.
Understanding that someone I see a challenge in study. Is it a master and go to the Bible school in order to study?
Okay.
Or rather, can I use additional books to go to study?
Very good. That's a good question. He was asking the study, which we really didn't expound on very much, do we have to go to a formal Bible school to study? And that's available. But there are so many good Bible study materials available through Joffrey, and I don't know what you've seen or have available, but I have not been to Bible school or any formal training, but I've been to hundreds of small group Bible studies that taught me how to do it. And some of them started with topical studies, like they would have a question and answer on assurance of salvation. So it would have me look up a verse and ask a question. I would look up the verse, read it, and answer it. And I did those for years. Just simple, look up the verse, ask a question, answer it. And there are many available if you can just ask. I don't know if you have them in your local bookstores, but we can get them to you. There's a Bible study that goes with these five verses here called Lessons on Assurance. And it's just a little booklet. And then, like I said, there are many of these little studies that are on topics. And some are on helping you learn how to study a chapter or a whole book verse by verse. And actually, any of us can learn how to do that to more than we think we can. We don't have to have a Bible school to do it. But it does take a trained person to help you. So that brings us back to what we were going to talk about, I think, this afternoon, is follow-up and discipleship. Who is discipling you to teach you how to do these things? I need someone in my life who's farther down the road. Let's call him my Paul. And I'm Timothy. Paul is helping me do these five things. Because I didn't know how to do them until someone showed me. And as I learn how to do them, I want to find a Timothy that I can help. So that's a brief answer. But there are Bible studies out there that will teach even the average person like me to study God's Word and actually understand it. There's some techniques. One of the things I do in meditation is emphasize different words in the verse. What I mean is, and this is a Bible study technique too, thy word I have hidden, that I have treasured. So I, that to me, that's personal. It's not something someone else is going to do. I have, that's for me. Thy word have I treasured in my heart. So, you know, there's some little things that you probably do them in your other classwork. I mean, you all in school study. That's probably another topic to how to study, but there are ways to do it. So we're going to transition here to Howard.
Thank you, Rich.